Hey, all I did was walk right into the room, and there she was, sitting there. She was a witch. Well, she said she was a witch, but when I walked into the room and she looked at me, I can tell there was a presence on her, and out of her mouth came just this vehement hatred and just these incredible declarations of her disgust with me. I've never met her before in my life. But she unleashed this barrage of just incredible hate speech and threat. And it was it was ugly. Everybody looked and wondered why and where this came from and what it was all about. Listen, I have seen that presence before. That was the voice of an ancient hate piggybacking somebody. I'm not even sure if they knew what the energy or the power was on them. But I was the object. Or at least the presence within me was the object of the presence on her, of its hatred. Standing by the pulpit one Sunday morning, I looked up, and standing in the back of the church was a man, eyes glazed over. He stood like a zombie. And I've seen this before. He began to walk down the aisle towards the front, and I knew we'd be engaged. By the time he came to the front, all those were worshiping and singing, all the people were looking. Of course, I had a mic on connected to my shirt, and as he got all the way close to say something in my ear, I leaned forward, and literally out of his mouth was, "Dizdar, we hate you. We are going to kill you." In that case, I prayed, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be bound, the hand of God come again. And before I could even finish the prayer, the man literally was bolted to the ground, thrown to the ground. And the full manifestation of that entity demonstrated itself. I have seen this ancient hate. I have seen that presence before. It has... Well, its inception is in the heavenlies, and obviously its desire for, rule and reign here in the hearts and lives of humanity. Listen, if you're listening now, maybe it is. Some will listen that have these very entities in and on them. Some write to me at times spewing the same kind of hatred. And it's not really even just hatred for me, but what's inside. There's an ancient hate, a lust, a rage, a bitterness, it's an eternal now. Listen, unequaled hate that flows from the fallen cherub, and listen, it makes itself known. And that's what it's all about right now. That's what globalism and the dismantling and the destabilization and all the stuff that's going on right now is because of an ancient hate and a passion. That presence is showing up everywhere. We're going to talk about that tonight in the series that we're doing. The series called Hell's Encroachment, When Demonic Revelation Becomes Political Ideology, Military Vision, and the Law of the Land. Now listen, I want you to hear, that's the theme off the website, shatterthedarkness.net. Hell's Encroachment, When Demonic Revelation Becomes Political Ideology, Military Vision, and the Law of the Land. Now here's the words that are written. If you feel the darkness in the air, then engage the minds of political and military leaders. It is there in those minds that the doctrines of hell are being inscribed and being rolled out. There is no new world order without political military dictatorship. This week's live shows deals with how this real dark, extra-dimensional presence engulfs the minds and the hearts of national and world political military leaders. Shark fins, if you can see them, just below the surface, there's the beast. The full force of its lethal teeth. Just below the surface of the deep of all the confusing alternative spirituality, all the shark fins that you see, but connected to all of that alternative spiritual presence that does echo out the it does echo out that ancient hate. There is one thing that is very evidential in alternative spiritual presence, spiritual writings, spiritual channelers, those engaged with voices inside of them, those that are given over to, New Age. It's very clear that the presences behind that, all of that, they have clearly an agenda. That's what we're talking about here on a Wednesday night, November the 3rd. This is called Lessons from Judas Iscariot. Here's the question. Can the devil get into the heads of political and military leaders? I know someone's going to say, well, duh. Want to welcome all those who are listening right now. Want to welcome all the live listeners all over the place. Listen, send us an email once in a while. Let us know where you're listening from. We've gotten them from Australia and Canada, United States, and we've gotten them from New Zealand and England and Brazil and other parts of the world. And so we're simply saying that we're glad to be here with you tonight. And then again, for those that download later on, the next day for some of you, in all those countries of the world, please understand one thing, God so loved the world. He so totally loved the world that he gave his only begotten. He's called the monogenesis. The monogenesis. The only one of a kind that went to the cross and gave his life, that whoever believes in him would not perish. The gift of eternal life, indestructible immortality. That's what we're talking about. Maybe you've read it. Listen, want to welcome you tonight if you're brand new. This is Russ Dizdar. The website that's behind all of this, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. And tonight, we're here from 6 o'clock to 7, as we are Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday. But also on Wednesday night, 7 p.m., right after this show, a live show with Chat Room. And we want to invite you to the Ragged Edge after this show if you're able. Going to talk tonight about Judas, the Judas model, and as we see that model, please understand the ancient hate, the presence that we're talking about, and I'm going to mention 5 points tonight, the fifth dealing with where is Satan's throne, the idea of enthronement, and where that throne, or where there's an enthronement, or where there's clear, powerful legal presence in a locality, in a government, in a city, in a nation, well, then you're going to find out that the law of the land will begin to echo that presence, that ancient hate. We're talking about the coming of the Antichrist, most people know him by, but 2 Thessalonians 2 calls him Anthropos Anamos. The man of lawlessness, and the context of that word, it does mean sin, but it means more than that. It has the idea of one in direct opposition to the presence, the law, the word, the will, anything of God. Just out and out willed lawlessness. Opposition to God. So yes, instead of, in replacement of, trying to substitute, but in utter and total and complete, there is no other higher level of opposition to God manifest in the world than when the Antichrist comes. And the regime, and the government, and the military, and the law. And so that's, listen, we're going to give some categories tonight, and maybe you're going to say, look, you know what, I see it coming right now. I can feel it, see it, hear it, give examples of it. And this is part of why we need to understand biblical prophetic revelation. Blessings to you in the name of Christ. May the hand of God, just be stretched out. Stretched out to save, to heal, to deliver. And please understand, I make no bones about it, that if you don't know Christ, and for whatever reason that you're here, even if you think it's an accident, I want you to know that I'm glad you're here, that we've prayed for you to be here, that you've been prayed for, and we simply ask God to save, to heal, to deliver, to help, to encourage, And even over the air like this, where you are, to do, well, extraordinary miracles. In the name, Jesu Christu, Jesus Christ. Glad to be with you tonight. Listen, we're going to give you two news items just quickly. We're done with all of the talk on the voting, and there may be some changes. But let's talk about something else. Right now, I mentioned yesterday, and it's been on the news again today, about some kind of terrorists in Greece that orchestrated sending bombs to a number of nations, and to Sarkozy in France, to the UN, to many other places in Russia and Germany, all over the place. And now we're finding that it's not only come from Yemen and now from Greece and maybe now from Somalia and other places, but it's pretty interesting to me that that kind of level, I mean, multinational targets, once again, spewing the fear. Now, behind this, ultimately, forget the physics of the individuals involved and even their political ideologies. Behind it, ultimately, is that concept of an ancient hate, of the red horse, of what's coming down the pike. When peace is pulled, when Irene, the cessation of hostilities, when that peace is pulled, listen, if you read the Red Horse, Revelation 6, then there is a butchery of mankind against mankind. Greek word not referring to war and, you know, battle sword, but referring to a butchery, the kind that would be done in animal sacrifice. And millions will die. Now, I only share that to say that behind all of this is that ancient hate. And to the degree that presence gets a hold of a life. See, when we talk about demon possession, the Greek word diamonizoid, you can be demonized, but at certain levels. I mean, full-blown possession means demonic presence has taken over, can willfully move a person out of the way, speak through them, act through them, look through their eyes, and converse with people, actually, and attack people using the body. And that's literally that they've taken over. That's the idea of full-blown, absolute possession. But the Greek word is diamonizoid. You can be demonized on lighter levels. Individuals can, families can, tribes can, cities can have this in the lives of people, echoed in the laws of the land, doorways and gateways opened up in the temples and the places in government and other areas. Well, like Pergamum, where Satan had his throne, it was a massive, massive door of hands-on rule in the city. That, to the degree of that, brought about, well, persecution, opposition. And I'm going to say that beyond the idea of just possessing a human being is the desire for the spirits to use them. Now, the ancient hate is clearly defined in all of Scripture. There's five areas. I'm going to give them to you really quick here. Listen, in dealing with the Judas model. Now, this is what we see in Judas. This is what we see happening to him. And I'm not sure, again, I'd like to see a psychologist kind of analyze this. Others can analyze this, but you look at Judas. Jesus knew that he never did believe. He wasn't a believer, but he was around. He was greedy, he was selfish, and his heart was so sold out. Listen, he has now God right there, God in human flesh. He's seen miracles. He's listening to Jesus. Jesus is right there, but Jesus knew which of them did not believe. And it's clear that Judas was there for a different reason. To be able to be that close, you have to really seal your heart, make it very clear, close the door hard and strong, and lock it on God. Now, the model that we see in the life of Judas Iscariot, we see that his life simply became a doorway, a tool, a vessel of opportunity for, again, the idea of the ancient hate. Do you realize that out there in the heavenlies, the anointed cherub that twisted and turned and willed to, war at God and annihilate God and take over God's place. That very presence in the heavenlies was right there on the ground, operative, looking for someone that he could get into, right next to Jesus. Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat." Jesus knew when Satan entered the room, though nobody else did. The Judas model clearly shows that when you read it in the Gospel of John, it simply says clearly that Satan entered into him. And there is no revelation, no data that says that he felt it, that he knew it, that he was doing a satanic ritual, that he was wanting it to happen. There's nothing to tell us that he became completely glassy-eyed and possessed. He just simply instantly, on impulse, got up, went out, and for 30 pieces of silver, betrayed the Son of God unto death. He became the tool. See, behind the scenes, there was an ancient hate that desired to annihilate Christ. Now, you'll see a panoramic, both past, present, and future activity of this ancient hate. Revelation 12 is an incredible chapter that gives you this panoramic view. As it operates then in lives, in family lines, in cities and nations and so forth, and ultimately the whole globe, there'll be an operating presence globally. Here's what it means. Whenever that dark presence is operative, please understand the ancient hate. It is despicable. It is deep. It is broad. It is wide. It is eternal. It is seething. It is conniving. It is burning with passion and bitterness. It is dark, and it is the hate of all hate. It is the father of lies. It is the murderer. So you've got to understand from the entity that hates God as no one else, and from his regime that swells with a hatred that you or I have never felt this. You might have gotten mad at God sometime in your life, but you and I do not know what it is to be transmuted and at the core of your being to hate God so much that you spend your existence on how you will get to him and annihilate him and remove him and take his place. Here's how the ancient hate manifests. Sheer, utter hatred against God. Sheer and utter hatred against Christ. Number three, sheer and absolute hatred of the Word of God. Number four, sheer and absolute hatred of Israel. And number five, sheer and absolute hatred of the real body of Christ, that is, real believers in whom dwell the Spirit of God. Now, when I tell you this, you've got to understand the motivating factor. Revelation 12 gives us that the dark presence is furious. There's a rage there, and they know their time is short, so there is a sense of literally panic in that side to do what needs to be done. So I'm going to tell you again that behind all of what we see, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Have we heard that? Ephesians 6. You ever see the words where it says, they hated me without reason? Why did they hate Christ? I mean, what did he do? I mean, he walks on water. He raises the dead. He heals a boy and gives him back to a parent. He opens the eyes of the blind. He creates a miracle for everybody, thousands of people to eat food. Let's ask the question, why did they hate him? The miracles that he did astounded them. The ability for him to know what they thought in their hearts astounded them. The answers that he gave to the hardcore questions astounded them, stifled them, and shut them down. For some, it amazed them, and they bowed their knee and found him as God, Savior, Christ, and Lord. The operating presence behind the world is not just the concepts of Russia against the United States or China against USA or, you know, Europe. You know, it's not just even – it's the creation. If there's anybody creating false flag, it is that dark side. You've got to understand how this will manifest. You've got to understand that in the days in which we are living – in the rise of an alternative presence in the world, spiritual presence, in the air, in lives, in alternative spirituality and religions and experiences and events through channelers and remote viewers and psychics and demonic writings and on and on and on and on. One thing is manifest. A clear ancient hate that is in opposition to God, Christ, the Word of God, Israel, and the real body of Christ. I mean, the Spirit of God leads Peter, finally, in the book of Peter, after he knows how he lost a battle. I mean, in spiritual warfare, he lost so bad he didn't even know what hit him. And he was so emotionally distraught and weakened by it all that at first he didn't even know how to recommit and come back and follow Christ. For believers right now that have been beat up, where all that stuff come down on you, and it's really because of spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare, one of the keys is this. When it's spiritual warfare, when the enemy's coming to devour you, you ever read it, 1 Peter chapter 5? You're supposed to be self-controlled and alert, knowing the fact that you've got an enemy in the world. I don't care if the secular world, the skeptical world, in education and in whatever else, they have no ability to understand or discern this yet. But when the Spirit of God through Peter tells us that your enemy, the devil, this is the adversary. He is prowling around. There is movement. Oh, among the nations, without question, you've got to understand that the depth of this, the dark, intelligent design that we talked about yesterday. You've got to understand the collective, the hive, when it comes to the fallen angels, the demons, and so forth. Hundreds of millions upon millions, collectively worldwide. Operative with one agenda. They have one nature, they have one cause, they have one ruler, the fallen cherub himself. Now, the deepest of Luciferians know this. The further you go away from the purity of Luciferic worship, the more the lethality of the fallen cherub is lightened up, becomes more palatable as it surfaces all the way to the New Age and so forth. Nevertheless, if the New Age hangs on the writings of Alice Bailey, and if it was an entity, if not Satan himself, someone high up, to lay out, you know, 30, 40, 50 years of the evolutionary development of the dark side, clearly in the writings of Alice Bailey, and I'm on my way to reading all of them, 21 volumes. I can feel it, I can read it, an ancient hate. Oh yes, an alternative spiritual direction that will literally give kind of a spiritual coating, glazing over eyes and hearts, giving spiritual favors, but only layering step by step, decade by decade, all the way to the coming of. See, in those writings, they're going to become very accepting of a world ruler, of a Christ, but not the Christ of the Bible. And there's clear, in those writings, the secret doctrine, all the rest, in those writings, when you find the hatred towards the real Christ, the Word of God, and real believers, and how there's a need of cleansing, getting rid of them, well, then you know who it is. See, again, the revelation of one little verse there in 1 Peter 5, an adversary prowling around. That means clearly operative. He's looking. It says he's like a roaring lion. There's an enormity behind him. But he's seeking someone. You look up the word devour, to swallow. It's the idea of a bigger animal drinking down and swallowing whole a smaller animal. Do you understand the nature? Do you understand the ancient hate? There is such a hatred on that side against anyone who is a believer in Christ that when that presence gets in the lives of people, it should not be confounding to us or a surprise to us that when real demonic presence, by whatever name somebody wants to call it in their life, spirit guide, ascended master, you know, great white, whatever they want to call it, if it's really a demonic, you know, entity, then it both has an agenda for alternative spirituality and a dyed-in-the-wool, eternal, ferocious, bitter hatred of you if you're a believer. Why do you think that in places where Satan really has demonstrative manifestation, there is also demonstrative persecution? To the degree of that manifest presence of the dark side in the lives and the law, the political realm, even in the military enforcement of it, where it demonstrates persecution and destruction against real Christians, then please understand you're dealing with the ancient hate manifesting in and through lives, having a stronghold, a throne, enthroned area, where then there's attack. That's why Rome did what it did, this emperor worship, this declaration of the emperor being Lord, being God, the blood cults. Do you understand? The spiritual nature of ancient Rome was literally from beginning to end in its laws, in the air, in its practices, in the belief systems of its central political rule, Luciferic. You don't have to use the word Luciferic for it to be that. If you know the nature, the doctrine, the agenda, and you see it in the life of a person, in the talk of a person, in the writings of a person, in the laws of a political central power, then it has gotten hold. And it's without question that political, spiritually inspired political opposition will come to believers to the point of persecution and killings. I mean, look at Rome, how they... You read Fox's Book of Martyrs and watched how they... Why didn't they just kill them? They didn't have to just kill them. They had to torture them. They had to put dog skins around them and throw them out there to the lions to be ripped apart. They had to burn them. They had to do all kinds of stuff to those believers in Christ. Simple human beings that believe in Jesus Christ and call him Lord. Polycarp, when finally brought to the arena there in Rome... Disciple of Irenaeus, who was a disciple of John the Apostle. When he was commanded to throw the pinch of incense into the fires and declare Caesar as God as Lord, he refused. His declaration would be that 86 years he has known and served the sovereign Lord Christ, and that this sovereign Lord Christ has not done him any harm. How then can I blaspheme my king? And the command was, light the fires. It is said the fires went out. The command was to light the fires again. The fires were lit and the fires went out. A third time. Polycarp was burned at the stake. Be it in the midst of a spiritual power encounter and a witness of God. Romans 16:20, a prophetic word to the Roman church concerning the empire of Rome, that God would soon crush Satan under their feet. And surely God did bring down Rome on behalf of his church, the body of Christ, and his mission. Please understand, in the series of Babylon, Medo-Persia, the Greeks, and Rome, there's only one more empire that will be global to come, that is growing, developing, is clearly behind the scenes. The regime, in my opinion, is prepared and ready, but behind the scene. And it cannot surface, nor can the Antichrist surface, in the sense of being unveiled to the world. Well, without the great chaos first, but it's all a spiritual issue. God's got his finger, the restrainer, holds it all back right now. You and I, who are believers in Christ, you've got to understand the restraint restrains the full force of all of hell's agenda, presence, power. The Antichrist, the false prophet, and all that regime. The coming chaos, the coming globalism, the coming of all of what's going to come, all held back. No wonder that God would say to believers in Christ, 1 John chapter 4, greater is he who dwells in you than he who dwells in the world. The one in the world. So it's not about fear. It is about, just absolute sheer, in the beauty of the witness of Christ, a boldness needs to be seen. That itself is an evidence. You go read Philippians where it talks about believers in Christ having no fear, showing no fear. It's literally like a sign under those who are perishing in opposition, where the dark side is operative in and through them, spewing the ancient hate. People talk about hate speech. How can it be that you can read writings of psychics and others, and even remote viewers, where they can decimate Christ? How can it be that Eric von Däniken can desecrate Christ and believers and God and the Word of God and be one of the number one read authors in all the world? Why would anyone read the first couple of chapters of The Return of the Gods? That absolutely evidences the ancient hate against God, against Christ, against the Word of God, against Israel, and against believers in Christ. Just that one book evidences all five avenues of this ancient hate. It's amazing to me. I wonder whether some people even know why they have that hatred. I mean, I've met atheists that all they do is scream out their anger and hatred, and they'll find any hypocrite out there they can use to justify their anger and hate against God and what they call religion, all the while covering, maybe using it all to justify or free their own minds of their own sin guilt, their own lostness, the reality they have no answer. Could it be that when somebody joins in a hatred, I mean, did Judas hate God? Did Judas hate Christ? Now, I'm going to give you five things here tonight. Now, those first five were the biblical, the revelation of the focus of the full force of this ancient hate. I mean, the fallen cherub and the entire system, they are, you got to understand, in their genetics, in their hearts, in their minds, in their beings, they are beings. They are beings. They possess people. They can be in places. They are summoned through a human sacrifice. By the way, don't forget, November 4th, tomorrow night, in preparation tonight, rituals are going on. On the 4th of November, satanic revels. Human sacrifice. We have two cases of human sacrifice right here, a girl 14 and a girl 17, unsolved as far as the police is concerned. But they were done during the summer, during the satanic ritual date of satanic revels and and demon revels. The dark side takes great pleasure in the sacrifice of a human being, the torture and the pain and the harm and the hurt. The dark side loves wounded people. Listen, the dark side loves angry people, wounded, bitter, hurting people. They love to come alongside and say, yeah, you're angry, you're hurting, yeah, become angry, become more bitter, you know, get filled with rage. Look what God has done to you. Look how God doesn't love you. Look how God is away from you. You know, isn't this unfair and you've been cheated? And yeah, I get even more angry until a person is lost in a dark, deep sea of hot anger. And they have no idea why they're blaming God for what they themselves may have done or someone else who was sinning did. You see, we can become victims of somebody's sin, but also we can be victimizers. To the degree of this dark side, this ancient hate manifesting in lives, individual lives, family lines, groups, the entire underground system of satanic ritual abuse is kind of a methodical and a systematic development, creating the doorways within for the sake of control and the agenda and demonic possession. And every one of them, unless they get healed, will be used to unleash the hatred that flows from hell's throne chair and accomplish what this dark side wants. Now, it's because hearts and lives are open, because the agenda is moving forward. Let me give you, in this 20 minutes here that we have, the five areas that when we talk in terms of how is it that this ancient hate, this ancient dark seething hatred that is roaming around, that is literally seeking souls and lives, to believers in Christ to devour, to destroy you. For others and other individuals, well, number one, fallen mankind like Judas. Here's the Judas model. Fallen mankind whose heart is got their door closed into the face of God, opened to self and self-interests, and sin and whatever else, guess what? That heart and life and mind becomes a platform for the influence of and direct operating presence of dark spirits, if not the fallen cherub himself. You can take a read of this in Ephesians 2. I mention it a lot in reference to the fallen cherub that sought to destroy Christ, that the very one in the heavenlies that sought, you know, the five I wills, the one that wanted to annihilate, get God out of the way and take his throne. This very presence was there 2,000 years ago, walked right into Judas's life, went out and sold Jesus out, and was part of the synchronicity that was occurring to take Christ to the cross and kill him for no legal reason, of course. They hated him without a cause, without a reason. So fallen mankind, if you're lost and you do not have the Spirit of God in you, if you're, you know, anger with the life that we, you know, that you're living right now because of all of the, listen, we're living in a ragged edge of a world, a fallen world that is abnormal and broken, and it's not the way it was meant, my friend. The healer, the savior, the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, the one that can bring forgiveness of sin and healing into your life. Listen, he is waiting to enter into your life and change you, touch you, free you. You can come to Christ right this very moment, turning to him. Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life. I receive you as Savior and Lord. I open my life and surrender to you. Let the Spirit of God come into your life, the Spirit of Christ. And listen, If not, fallen humanity, one simple area, look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. The prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now operative in fallen humanity, those who are disobedient, those without the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2 tells us those who do not have the Spirit of God, well, you can't understand the things of God. Romans 8 tells us those who are not born of the Spirit of God, indwelt by the Spirit of Christ, the sin nature, which is hostile to God. Do you understand that your fallen genetics, your fallen constitution within, there is a sin nature, there is a presence within that drives you further from God, and that presence within is hostile towards God, because that ultimately sin nature comes from the enemy. It's what he's all about. So that inside a fallen individual, if you're lost, if you're unsaved, well, the sin nature's in. What are you going to do to get rid of it? It is literally a platform for the enemy. You read Romans 8, you read Ephesians 2, you're going to see it clearly. And that's why I'm going to say that around the world, when some people have picked up other philosophies. Now, this goes on to point number two. When it comes down to a heart that is filled with hatred and sin and greed and selfishness. Now, that's Judas. Anything we do know about Judas, that he was selfish, greedy, a thief, and being next to Jesus for years, a number of years, and rejecting him shows us, you know, you got to really shut your heart off, your mind off. You got to really become hardened. And that's what he was. So in Lost Man, number one, there's opportunity. But number two, when a heart is filled, this is why we should understand the principle in Ephesians 4. Be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and give the devil a foothold. Topon, a legal right. If you're lost and you don't have the Spirit of God and you get angry and you're mad about everything and you're bitter about everything, if you're greedy, if you're just committed to selfishness, then your legalities from the inside out, the doorways you're giving to the enemy, to Satan's operating presence, is broader and wider. You're literally, listen, I live out somewhat in the country area. There are deer out here. There are coyotes out here. There are groundhogs everywhere, chipmunks and squirrels, all kinds of critters. If I open the back sunroom door and leave it open for a little bit, basically nothing will happen. If I leave it open longer, it's possible that a chipmunk or a squirrel will come around. If I leave it open longer, that groundhog that has come up onto the porch and looked in the window of the door, he may show up. If I leave it open all night long, it's very possible that those coyotes, I've seen them here, they look mangy and their teeth hanging out, they're looking for the deer. Those coyotes might come right up and right in, especially when it's cold out there. And there's heat and the smell of food, and they're going to come right to a doorway, and that doorway's wide open, and they're going to come right on in. That is their nature. They look for it. The dark side, far beyond even that, they're looking for the doorways. They can smell hatred. They can smell the greed. They can smell the selfishness. They can smell the sin addictions that some people have, that are so deep into addictive sin issues that they're able to come and get a legal open door to begin to operate. Now, that's just simply number two. What about number three? This now, how do you open the door even broader to the enemy? Well, if you answer their knock to alternative spiritual engagement. The engagement of of a masquerading, you know, dark spirit. I mean, if Satan can masquerade like an angel of light, an angel of light shows up, something that looks like a, you know, an ancestral spirit, maybe it's Uncle Fred, maybe, you know, somebody's telling you that they can conjure the dead. And they just need you to come over and you can talk to your dead relatives. It's why God so strictly forbid that. Because of the horrific deception that can come down and the door for the demon. You want to open the door wider and wider and wider? That's where all these occult doors and demonic doctrines are meant to open doors wider. And engagement with spirits and, you know, seeing UFOs and then getting absorbed in it and wanting to talk to the entities. Getting psychic readings from somebody who really has an operating spiritual presence that begins to work in your life. Open doors that if you do the rituals and you do, it's like that witch. I didn't do a thing to her. I just walked into the door. The spiritual presence that she allowed in her life, I mean, reacted to me in utter sheer ancient hate. The man that walked into the church, I wasn't saying anything wrong. I was there in the midst of worship doing some prayers for the church. Worship songs were going on, and yet, fully possessed, he walked down the aisle. And the words of the demons that took over him, out of his mouth, they hate us, and they want to kill us. See, in that man's life, he confesses how broad he opened the door and other things that occurred to open doors. If you're listening right now and you've opened the door wide in the sense that you have embraced demonic doctrine, you've embraced spiritual experiences that give the dark side permission, rights, then pretty soon, I've seen it happen again and again. Attitudes towards God, despite towards the real Christ, real believers, the Bible. These dark presences and so forth, they know where they want to lead you. In the life of Judas, the clear reality was that when the openness of his heart and life was broad enough, Satan himself walked right in. Now that takes us to point four, the concept of full possession. I mean, there's no question that we have dealt with demon possession for years and years and hundreds of cases and so forth. Nobody could even begin to convince me that it's not real. I've been around it too much. I've always believed it because Christ is real. The Spirit of God is real. And the presence and the love, all that God says is real, experiential. And I know my Savior. I know my God. I know His presence. But the other side of the fence, that is just as real as the Bible says it is. Just as lethal, just as dark, just as menacing. The father of lies, a murderer, a thief, seeking someone to devour. And all of biblical prophecy says that side will continue to spew over like a river that's overflowed and just pouring into places it never was before. So that's what's happened in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. It's to the point where they're about ready for their next stage, their next step. Point number five, this is very important. Where Satan has his throne. You ever read this Revelation chapter 2, verse 13? Jesus Christ says, I know thy works. Where thou dost dwell, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast to my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. Did you hear that? Here's Jesus speaking to the believers in Pergamum. Here he says, I know your works, I know where you dwell, and then clearly again, here comes Christ in giving the spiritual analysis of the city, of the government, of the operating presence in that place. Here's what Jesus says: where Satan's throne is. That's the Greek word. It's the word thronos. It's the idea of a political seat of power. Satan had and if anybody have seen have you seen the throne of Satan in Pergamum? Have you looked it up at all? In Pergamos, where Satan's throne was, there was an altar that was around the 2nd century. There was B.C., before Christ, the ancient Greek city of Pergamum. The temple was dedicated to the Greek god Zeus, which either was a manifestation of satanic presence. Zeus was not a mythological presence. It was most likely Nephilim. But again, when it came down to the Nazis, and we'll talk about this in the next hour tonight, 7 to 8 o'clock in the Ragged Edge show that we have, you can link to that show by going to the shatterthedarkness.net website if you want to listen at 7 o'clock. But we're going to talk about, again, not only does the dark side seek political and military leadership, but when political leaders seek them. For the sake of weaponization, for the sake of political rule, this was what Hitler and Himmler and that regime were guided to do. Once the door is open and the presence is there, they want more. They want to get more. They want to lead you to more. They want you to take on more. So in Pergamos, where Satan's throne was, to the degree of that operating presence operating into the politics of the city, guess what occurs? It's the same place where Antipas, a faithful witness of Christ, was martyred. So, as I said earlier, to the degree of the enthronement, the actual presence of this dark side operative in the political rule will come a corresponding demonstration of through persecution. I mean, you can begin to feel, if you feel the opposition, the spirit of Antichrist in the air, opposition to God, opposition to the Word of God, if you feel it in your land, what about Russia? What about China? What about Muslim countries? Why is there such a spiritual and then politically an ideology and even the laws? In some places, you're not allowed to utter the name Christ. You're not allowed to be baptized. You're not allowed to preach the gospel. You're not allowed to build the church. You're not allowed to have a Bible. I can remember years ago ministering to young people. I went to a local high school to ask if we can begin to do some ministry to high school students. That we were doing it actually in homes during the week, but we wanted to be able to visit on the campus. And two of us went there, and one brought their Bible, and we were sitting there, and the principal sat 6 feet away from us on the other side of the table as if we were plagued with some disease. And he pointed to the Bible and says, "We don't want that in here." You hear what I said? I'm telling you, back in the 70s when this occurred, when this principal said, "We don't want that in here." And he pointed right to the Bible. The ancient hate manifests its hatred towards God, the real God of heaven, Christ, the real Christ of the cross, the Word of God, Israel, and the body of Christ. You're going to find where there is manifest dark presence, there is an operating ancient hate. Whether it's persecution, opposition, interference, suppression. So look at the laws in your land, America. Look at the laws in your land, Europeans. Look at the laws. Did Marx and Stalin have an open heart and the political system have an open heart and open... Did it open wide to the gospel, to the Word of God, to Christ? When political powers will not do this, Rome wouldn't do this. They were trying to annihilate. Matter of fact, Nero, the one Caesar, he had a coin that was made, an actual coin. You can get it. You can go look at it in history where it said right on the coin, because they thought they eliminated all Christians by killing them. A coin, like a silver dollar, was made. You know what it said on it? The Christian, he had stamped right on that coin, "The Christian religion is dead." The fact was, not too long after that, he was dead. And Rome fell. The entire empire fell. Well, there's another one coming, broader, wider, stronger than anything in history. The Luciferic New World Order. We all hear about it. It is coming. It's in the air. It's in the politics. It's in some of the laws. It's in the ritual practices. It's in the Luciferic invocation. It is in the convergences. It is in the 2012ers' goals of gathering in places and opening the door for a new spiritual agenda. But number five, when we're talking about this, the operating presence, number one, in fallen humanity. Number two, in a human heart that is filled and committed with aggravating, I mean, just really deep-hearted sin and greed and so forth. Also, to number three, those who've opened the doors to the occult and to the spirits. And then fourthly, to those who really do get possessed. And then fifthly, in governments, in cities, in laws that get manifest. Now, you can go read about the throne of Satan, where the Nazis sent out, Hitler sent out Karl. Did you know about this? Literally sending out Karl Humann. Karl Humann was, Humann was sent out to bring this throne into Berlin. And then later on, Albert Speer was to create something just like it from which and where Hitler would do a lot of his speeches. You ever wonder why he looked so possessed? You ever wonder why deep within him there was a seething hatred of Christ? A goal of annihilating Israel? A goal of getting rid of the Word of God? Every one of these things, hatred of the real God of heaven, of Christ, of the Word of God, of Israel, of the body of Christ, was all demonstrated through the lives of those who opened wide, politically, on a military basis. The psychology and the science, well, they were there too, in Nazi Germany. That ideology is developing and bleeding into the world's political quest. Globalism will evidence this very clearly. I pray that you know the living Christ. The music is on. We're going to close down right now. We want to say God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. Remember us in prayer. Remember the whole of the work of Shatter the Darkness in support. Don't forget, shatterthedarkness.net. A lot of downloads for you. New stuff. God bless. Good night.